Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Hello, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is the Great Ideas Radio Show. I'm Grill, and I'm having technical difficulties again this evening, but I believe I have Brian the Wine Czar with me. Brian, is this thing working?
Bacon. There, I got it out of the way first, so we don't have to talk about it anymore. Yeah, it's working.
It must be broke. You're saying bacon. Oh, God. Just 3 minutes before the show, just before I called you to make sure you weren't on your deathbed, the whole system shut down. So I believe we are live. Welcome, everybody. And Brian's half alive or half-assed, is like I like to say it.
Yeah,
so how are you feeling?
I was going to say welcome to the dark side of hell.
So what's wrong with you?
I don't know. You know, it's just stupid weather. It was 70 degrees, and then it was 30 degrees, and now it's going to be 70 degrees again.
Wow. It's global warming. In fact, that's a great lead-in to my first story, which, by the way, I've got to wing this because I had to – all my stories are gone. They were on the system, and then everybody shut down at 3 minutes before the show, so I'm going to wing it here, but – Brian, do you believe in global warming?
I believe there's some supreme idiot out there that keeps turning the fan on and off.
Well, let me just tell you something I found out this week. Did you know that our good buddies, the vegans of the world, from the new studies, and I don't remember who did this study. I think it was Carnegie. Is it Carnegie Mellon? Does that sound right? Anyway, somebody with a fancy name did a study, and vegans are the ones that are causing this global warming that everyone's talking about, which I find hilarious to begin with. But do you know why vegans are causing global warming?
Well, the only thing I can think of is all the manure they must use to plant their to fertilize their vegetables.
Well, there's a lot of BS that's out there, but from what – basically, that's actually true. That actually is part of the story. It's part of it. Anyway, when it comes to tilling the land and preparing produce for market, vegetables and such, and organics, et cetera, it takes a ton – I mean, big time amount of gasoline and tractors and what have you and trucks to get it in the field, plant it, and get it to the supermarket. And this company, I don't remember the name, I'll have to post it later on Facebook. But anyway, they found that, you're going to love this. This is exact a quote that came from the article. The vegans or vegetable eaters are causing global warming three times more than a bacon producer. So, all these vegans that are out there that are screaming about global warming, folks, it's your fault. You need to be eating more meat. We need to eat more cows and pigs and chickens because you're ruining our environment. I think this is amazing.
Well, I look at it this way. If they were eating the meat, then we'd be killing more livestock and they wouldn't be crapping all over the place and, you know, giving us all the...
Like- It's only Al Gore. I know, and I know it's the cows flatulating that's causing it. No, this is a real study, and it makes sense. It's called a life cycle, and the life cycle producing all these things actually takes up more energy to produce vegetables and get them to market. Think about it. When you ship a whole truckload of pepper, you know, peppers are pretty light, so it takes a lot of trucks to bring peppers to the supermarket. So all that gas, all those fumes, not to mention all that CO2 that gets into the atmosphere. So I guess the way these
I thought all those extremist people, you know, only ate stuff that was, you know, picked by barefoot virgins.
Oh, that's also, speaking of organic BS, there's no way you can feed the world by getting it out of your backyard and all this local stuff and farmers markets. Oh, yeah, great. I run into vegans everywhere, and they shop at Costco, they shop at Sam's Club, just like you and I do. And about Whole Foods, by the way, do you think any vegans go there, Brian?
Whole Foods?
Yes.
If they can afford it.
Yeah, well, that's the other problem. But anyway, I will post Facebook all the details because I love this story, and unfortunately I had to shut everything down so we could do a show. But and I got to mention, too, Laurie will not be here tonight. I know, like, we just lost half our crowd, but Laurie went – we were invited to a Christmas party, and I drew the short straw, and I ended up having to do the show. No, actually, I didn't want to go. Well, I thought I didn't want to go. I thought it was best that Laurie went and representing us at the fancy Christmas party. I mean, me showing
well,
up. I can tell you, they'd rather have Laurie than me anyway.
Yeah, what I heard was that it was more like a debutante ball, and you'd be way out of place.
I can't even spell the word debutante, much less be one. Yeah, so Laurie won't be here, and she said to tell everybody Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, because we won't be here the next 2 weeks after this. We're taking a hiatus. You know, one of your favorite words there, Brian, we're taking a hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't be back until, what is it, January, I don't know, January the 8th, 7th, whatever it is, that following Sunday after New Year's. So anyway, Laurie's having a good time. She's probably drinking wine, and I told her to get everybody at the show to listen. I mean, not the show, at the party to listen to the show. But something tells me she
you
won't
should
do
have
that.
Kind of just call in, you know, as like a roving reporter and give us a report.
Yeah, I asked her to do that, but she sort of crunched up her nose and said no. So I didn't think
well,
saw
please.
How far that went.
Please.
Anyway,
did she
so
bring
that's,
her own wine glass? Wait, did she bring her own wine glass with her to
yeah,
make sure that
effect,
she had the proper
she
one?
Did. She left out of here because what I heard through the grapevine is that, well, I don't know if these people don't drink or what the story is, but some of the neighbors were, like, sneaking their own bottles of wine. So I saw Laurie bring in wine and a glass with her. So I think Laurie's going to have wine if nobody else does.
Oh, God.
But no,
oh,
it's supposed
boy.
To be really nice. It's a very nice, supposed to be a very nice party and fancy stuff. And so, you know, I don't fit in. When you say fancy, I'm out of it, out of the picture anyway. So, Laurie said, Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year. So, that's a story about the vegans. And I also wanted to, I'm flying blindly here, but did you hear about turmeric this week? Is that how you say it, turmeric?
Who?
The spice, turmeric. Is that how you say it, turmeric?
Turmeric.
Same thing. Turmeric.
Turmeric. Yeah. It's a spice that is used mostly for coloring. It's like what makes curry powder yellow.
Exactly. And it doesn't have something to do with, does it have something to do with mustard, too?
I don't know that they put, maybe they, you know, when they make that stuff that you have, that with the yellow mustard.
You mean French?
Maybe they
French's
put
mustard.
Turmeric in it.
Well, anyway, turmeric, however you want to say it. This is pretty cool. And actually, your buddies at Chipotle should listen to this. They're finding that in laboratories that turmeric actually has a compound in it that actually kills E. coli and other types of bacteria. and there's studies being made on how they can use that for cutting boards, knives, all kinds of things in the restaurant business. And they say, according to the article, which I don't have in front of me because the computer died on me, but according to the article, in the next 5 years, there'll be a bunch of turmeric that'll be used in food safety, and it's showing great promise in the laboratory. So if you want to invest
here's my question. If it's such a miracle spice, if I sprinkle some on you, will it make you go away?
No, but it'll make me sterile, probably. No, supposedly it's supposed to be good stuff. So I don't know. You actually kill E. coli, which isn't, there isn't a whole lot of things to kill E. coli. So it's
I guess it's whatever that yellow stuff is.
I guess, but I think it was being studied in, it was some university, and they've had quite a bit of success with it. So I'll keep you posted on that, even though I don't have the details in front of me. That was the headline. And here's another one for you, Brian. I'm getting these all out of the way because then I understand you have some thinking or thinker things for me to think about. But listen to this. Bacon. Of course, I've got to say bacon. Bacon contains a chemical compound that's a nutrient called choline. And you say to me, grill, so what? Well, it turns out choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E, I guess it's pronounced choline or choline, it has an ability to increase memory and shows promise in the treatment, listen to this, of Alzheimer's patients, and increasing their memory and improving Alzheimer's patients. And also there's a possibility this choline has ability to cure Alzheimer's, and it's found in bacon. Now, I'm not saying if you eat bacon, it's going to save you from this, but it has the same choline in it. I'm sure other things do too, but bacon's one of
right.
them.
Right, and like those other studies that we reported on, like the things that will kill you if you eat, you know, if you eat it, and then it discovers that you have to have like a million, billion, trillion parts of it in your system to actually make it work. I guess whoever eats enough bacon to make this work will die from eating all the bacon.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. Actually, I don't have a problem with that. If you got to eat a million, billion slices of bacon, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I didn't think you'd have a problem with that.
So, anyway,
I didn't think you'd have
true,
a problem.
Though. I don't know a lot about choline or choline, however you say it. I'm going to look it up later, but I'll post that story on my Facebook page. And last but not least, one more. These are really neat. Wild mushrooms. Now, you've heard that wild mushrooms are hallucinogenic, right?
Yes.
And psychedelic and all that. Well, it turns out, in another study, they have found that there's some compound in some certain type of wild mushrooms, which I don't have the paperwork in front of me to tell you which one it is, but it actually shows promise in laboratories to actually cure brain cancer. So I thought that was pretty cool. They're actually doing tests with patients now, and it made a funny point in the article that a lot of the patients really like the side effects of these pills that they're getting that are made with wild mushrooms. But supposedly it has something in it, these particular wild mushrooms, that help in curing brain cancer. So that's another one that I will post with more details since I don't have them in front of me, but some really cool stuff.
Okay,
in the,
I just Googled choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E, right? All right. Choline is a water-soluble nutrient. It is usually grouped with the B-complex vitamins. Choline generally refers to the various quaternary ammonium salt containing the NNN trimethyl. God,
are you really
how many letters in this word? I don't know, but anyway, I'm going to skip
this. Just leave it the way I had
can't.
It. Just tell everybody that bacon is going to cure Alzheimer's and leave it at that.
Oh, screw you with the bacon. It says some animals must consume choline through their diet to remain healthy. To humans, choline is not an essential nutrient unless the diet is also devoid of methionine and folate. All right, well, we'll end it there.
Yeah, thank you. I like my story better. Anyway, I know it's not bacon, but bacon has choline in it. And it's a recent groundbreaking bacon study, probably paid for by Smithfield or Gwaltney, but it's supposedly shows that it's got this nutrient in it. Anyway, so much for that. Now
You have way too much time on your hands to go dig and find all of these stories that are interrelated to bacon. I can't imagine the time you spend daily trying to find a new way to bring up the subject of bacon.
Well, okay, first of all, I can't take credit for this one. Randy Finn sent me that on Facebook in a private message, and I thought you'd like to know. So I have researchers out there, Brian, you know, people that listen to the show who are trying to support the bacon industry and
yes.
keep it alive. So, no, I did not find that story. Randy Finn found that story and sent it to me. So, you know, I've got roving reporters everywhere, Brian. I don't have to do anything.
Hang on. I just found a chart in this same thing that I brought up. It says food sources of choline. And I'm looking here. It says soy lecithin, raw beef liver, sunflower, cauliflower. Oh, there you go, cauliflower. Large hard-boiled egg, broccoli, brewer's yeast. Sorry, buddy, but bacon's not on here.
Well, according to the story that Randy Finn sent me, was in there. And by the way, think about this. Bacon-wrapped cauliflower. Now, there you go. There's a double whammy there.
Okay, wait. So if Lori's at a party, what did you have for dinner tonight? Because I had a vision that you probably made bacon-wrapped cheese doodles tonight.
No, actually, I made soup today. I made a ham soup. We had the ham, what day was it, Friday? No, Thursday. So I made ham and bean soup and had sausage in it and potatoes. So I ate pretty healthy. No bacon the last few days. Ham.
No,
which
but,
is close to bacon.
But you had
like
pork products.
Isn't it like the cousin of bacon, ham?
I hate it. That comes from the same animal. Or at least you think so.
Yeah, I believe they are.
Oh, God.
Are you wanting to tell me something about your trip to the museum or something? What would you want to tell me?
Well, I mean, I found your doppelganger at
my
the
room?
Museum. Your doppelganger. Oh, God.
Well, I didn't know I lost. I didn't lose it, did I?
It's called the Stinker. It's a giant guy sitting, you know, with his head in his hand.
The Thinker, if people don't know what you're talking about, who actually did that sculpture? What's his name?
And the artist's name is Rodin.
Okay, Rodin did the Thinker, but you have to admit, the Thinker does it like he's sitting on the pot.
Yeah.
Naked.
Yes, he does look like he's the Stinker.
Naked, and that's what you call the Stinker.
Yeah, I always said that. But I actually had an interesting dining experience Friday as part of my birthday celebration. And you know what?
What?
They put way too much smoky stuff. It wasn't bacon, though, in the mussels that I had. And it overpowered, which is something I always say about, you know, bacon. It's too smoky, it's too salty, and it overpowers. So
yeah, speaking of that, wait a minute. I have to ask you about that photograph. I have to ask you about that photograph, because you had muscles for your birthday. What was on top of the muscles? Was that a slice of bread or was that a steak?
It was a slice of grilled bread. Grilled.
Grilled bread. I thought it was a very dry steak.
Did they ask your permission to do that?
Yeah. And where were you eating? Because you didn't. It would seem like a fancy place, but I have to ask you about the crap on the spoon. But where were you eating?
The restaurant is called Amuse. Yeah. You know, like Amuse Bouche. You know, all right, which is a little, you know, little one bite thing that you would have at a fancy restaurant.
All right.
So what was on the spoon?
What was on the spoon? Let's stop. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, you have to go to Brian's Facebook page after the show. And he has photographs of his dinner. This is his birthday dinner. And he has the mussels with a piece of dry toast on top. And then he has this spoon, a bent spoon, that has something on it that, what was on there?
Okay. Of course, it was my birthday, and I'm a year older. So, I've got less brain cells. I didn't remember what the puree was at the bottom of it. I'm pretty sure it was something with, a fruit, like a pear or something, and maybe some sriracha because it had a little heat. But it was a mix of Carolina shrimp and daikon radish. That was absolutely, absolutely delicious.
But that was only a spoon.
And
it was half a spoon.
It's just a little taste. That's what an amuse bouche is. It's a little taste.
Did you go to Hardee's afterwards to really eat? Because, come on, that was little bit on a spoon.
No, I also had an appetizer.
Oh, ooh.
And I didn't
order on a fork?
First of all, the little amuse bouche comes out, and it's part of the meal. It's not something that you order and get charged for. Every day they have a different one that they bring out. It's a little tasting sample. That's what it's all about. And then I ordered mussels for my appetizer, and then I had the crab cakes, and I didn't even take a picture of the dessert I had. So, no, I didn't have to go to Hardee's afterwards.
Well, I mean, just what you posted looked like you could fit it in a thimble. I mean, what you had there, I'm just like, wow, I bet that was filling.
Yeah, and had I ordered it, I probably would have had to order 130 of them. But it just comes out. It's part of the style of the restaurant.
Well, that's certainly amusing, I can tell you.
Yeah. I knew you wouldn't get it because it's just way over your head.
Well, you know what? I bet you paid an arm and a leg for that spoon and mussels, didn't you?
No, well, first of all, my wife took me out to dinner. What was paid was none of my business, but I do go to restaurants that are of this caliber. You think that all I do is go to Hardee's, and I know that that's all you do. I do have sophisticated tastes, and I do go to finer restaurants.
I have noticed something. The more expensive and tasteful place that you go, more money, the less you get to eat. Have you noticed that?
Well, I mean, look, first of all, if you go to a family-style restaurant, they overfeed you. And how many people actually bring the leftovers home? Not that many that you would think.
I find
that when I go to a fine restaurant that serves proper portions, I am satisfied. I've eaten what I want to eat, and I didn't feel like I had to throw anything away or take anything home. And I don't
no
feel
way.
I was I don't feel that I was, you know, there are times when I felt overcharged because I just didn't think that the quality of the food was up to the price. But, you know, when you go out to a nice restaurant, dinner for two, you know, to spend $100 on dinner for two is not a big deal these days.
So I can see it now. You took that spoon, which was half a spoon, and you ate half of a half, which is a quarter of a spoonful, and you said, I just can't eat anymore, please. Can I have a doggy bag?
Yeah, can I have a to-go box for my spoon? Right, yeah. God. You're just such a caveman.
Yes, I am. And speaking of caveman, I am going to grill a turkey on Christmas Eve. What? I know that you just celebrated Hanukkah and you're Jewish, but your wife is Protestant Christian, right? I guess so. You got the best of all worlds. You get to celebrate both, right?
I get to celebrate, and then, you know, if we adopted a black child, I can do Kwanzaa also.
You should do that.
Know?
Then you got it all.
You know, maybe,
got it all
maybe
covered.
We will. Maybe we'll just do that. But yeah, I do get the best of both worlds. It's interesting that you said turkey because my wife said, you know, I said, what do you want for Christmas? You know, because this was the weekend to shop, and God, was it impossible. I mean, I hate shopping over the holidays. You know, even food shopping. You know, you run out of milk and you got to go to the grocery store, and it takes you 4 hours to wade through all the traffic, you know, and all the people in the stores. So she said turkey. I said, well, you know, I'll have to find a small turkey, or maybe we'll do turkey breast. But then she said, how about a Cornish hen? So we're having Cornish hen for Christmas. And
wait. Are you doing it the amuse more? What do you call it again? Amusing way? Are you going to have one between you?
I'll have as many as she wants to eat. I bought two, okay? I am not a cannibal like you are. And I don't require eating a half of a 20-pound turkey myself to satisfy my needs.
Yeah, well, see, I have leftovers, too. I'll be making turkey soup and turkey this and turkey that.
And you know, if she really wanted the turkey, I would have bought a turkey. And, you know, we would have done turkey, and I would have had plenty of stuff to work with for leftovers. But we're doing Cornish hen, and I'm going to do roasted root vegetables, and I haven't decided what the other vegetable is going to be.
Are you going to stuff those birds? Did you bring that spoon home that you had for the amuse thing?
That spoon would be just enough to get all the stuffing out of the Cornish hen.
That's what I said.
No, unfortunately, they don't let you bring the spoons home.
Oh, I would have taken the spoon. That was a cool spoon.
I don't think I'm going to stuff the Cornish hens. But I'm gonna make a gravy with chestnut in it. So
I think that'd be a funny video of me cooking Cornish hen for Christmas and stuffing a bird. I think I'm gonna have to do that because it would take like 3/4 of a thimble to stuff a Cornish hen.
It would just look funny with you handling this tiny little bird.
It would.
It would only take about a quarter of a pound of bacon to bacon wrap it. You wouldn't
That's
have to
true.
Buy much.
I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to do a video of making Cornish hens for Christmas or for holidays. That's a great idea. With my big hands. I look like Shrek. I could tell everybody it's a turkey and they think I'm like a giant.
And when you wrap it in bacon, make sure that you let the wings and the legs hang out. So just the body is wrapped.
I'll
so
that,
you know, it you know, you can see them.
Okay, I'm sure everybody out there is just enjoying this conversation. And by the way, if you guys want to call in, you got anything to say to us tonight? Because we said it just about all. If you got 15 minutes, you can call in 714-242-5267. 7-2, and I'm putting this out there because I think William Horn sounded like he wanted to call in, and that should be interesting. So, hey, Bill, if you're out there, call now, 714-222-5272.
Hey,
we what?
We have to talk about my GMO popcorn maker.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The popcorn.
You know,
maker.
And you're so convinced that the food babe is now going to come and recruit me. You're out of your mind.
Well, the way you were talking on your post, you were talking about all natural this and all natural that, and all, you know, not throwing away your mic. By the way, I will take your microwave popcorn if you're getting rid of it. But tell everybody about your new pop. What's it called? The Whizzer or something like that?
It's a Whirly. It's
oh,
the
Whirly.
Original brand. Whirly. Wait. I'll read it off of the box. It's
right.
Called Whirly Pop.
Okay.
And it's got, I don't know if you saw the picture. Now, first of all, your problem is that you don't read my posts. You just get an idea of one word, and then you go off on a tangent on the one word and assume, and you know what assuming does? You assume.
I'm busy, Brian. I'm a busy guy. I'm off looking for stories about bacon. I don't have time to read your posts.
Yeah. What I said was that there's nothing like having fresh popcorn with nothing but a little salt on it so you can taste the popcorn. Come on. I like microwave popcorn. I lived with it for a long enough time. Flavoring, and it's out of your control. Whatever it is, it is. And you really can't, it's hard to add to it. Now I've got fresh popcorn. I can put any spice I want on it. I'm in control. It has nothing to do with... I said chemical flavor, but that's what's in those things, is chemical flavor.
Well, now that you're in control of your popcorn world, what is your favorite choice of seasonings for your popcorn?
Sea salt. But then, you know, I'll do other stuff. You know, I've put Marty Owen's Tatanka dust on popcorn. I've put, you know, our friend Gina's, spice rub on popcorn. I make my own spice rub. I make one actually. In fact, someone was commenting on my post, and I told them what I do. I make one that's like cumin and chili powder based with a little cayenne that I really like, and you put a little sugar in there also. So, I mean, there's a lot of things, but, you know, it's like you can sprinkle as much or as little as you want. If I make popcorn out of a microwave, I'm confined to, well, it's already so salty, I can't do too much more.
Like I said, you're joining the Food Babe Army. I can see it now. I can already see you with your little uniform on.
It has nothing to do with the Food Babe. I don't know where you get this idea.
Your post just sounded like something the Food Babe would post about all natural popcorn and not buying microwave popcorn anymore and how popcorn
it's
is killing us.
It's fresh. I didn't say all natural. I didn't say non-GMO, vegan popcorn.
You were close. You were getting close. That's why I just said.
Oh,
hey, by the way, that's something I learned this week. Remember, did you see the freezer in my garage when you were here where I was keeping the soft drink?
No, you didn't give me the tour of the garage. I guess I wasn't privileged enough.
No, I didn't let you into the man cave. I forgot. But I learned something. Now, I've been using the freezer. This is going to sound stupid, but most of what I say, it does sound stupid. When I was in California, that freezer, when I turned it on low, I guess because it was warm outside, I could keep things in there, and it was like a refrigerator. So I put it on low, the lowest setting it'll go in, and I put soft drinks in there. And let me tell you, that's something you don't want to do in a freezer.
Yeah.
So I've got... Tomorrow I've got to go clean up eight six packs of blown up drinks inside my freezer. they froze and they don't do well when they freeze. I didn't really realize what was
no,
happening.
They explode.
Yes. Well, I found that out. So I didn't know if I had shown you my freezer, but I thought it was kind of like a refrigerator if you turned it down on very low, but I guess
no.
When it's cold outside, it's a freezer.
You know, I actually researched that once because I was trying to find a unit that I could use as a wine storage unit, and I was researching freezers that, you know, if I left them in the garage and I turned them really, really low, could I do long-term storage? But
right.
They, you know, they don't get warm enough. I think that they never, even on the lowest setting, they don't get higher than 32.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh, found that out.
Point. Yeah.
But in California, I guess because it was hot in my garage, I did it back then, and things didn't freeze, but, oh, well, I've got a lot of soft drinks to clean up. Mountain Dew went everywhere, too. I don't know why. I don't know if anyone's ever done
oh,
this
Oh, God,
before,
that must
yeah,
stink.
If you ever want to just, like, do an experiment, take Pepsi and Cherry Coke and Mountain Dew. For some reason, the Mountain Dew cans explode more than the other ones do. I don't know why.
They probably have more chemicals in them.
I guess. I gotta hose that baby out. So, by the way, folks, do not put soft drinks in a freezer, even at the low setting, because you will have a mess afterwards. Oh, well, that's what I want to talk
about. Brilliant tip from Brilliant Ideas Radio.
That's right. That's something you always learn something here on Brilliant Ideas Radio. You know, you learned about bacon, of course, and turmeric, or however you say it, and how vegans are killing us and causing global warming, and wild mushrooms. And also about, what's it called again?
Amuse-bouche.
Whatever. Whatever Brian says.
Like, shut your boosh.
Oh, well, do you have anything else?
I actually have a decent Wendy's experience to report. You know how I always say that Wendy's burgers are always greasy, and you tell me that I must be going to the same Wendy's, and they don't know how to do it because you never
Correct.
Have that problem. Well, Correct. I have the problem more frequently than not, and I don't go to the same Wendy's. But I gave the new the Gouda bacon cheeseburger
yes.
another chance at a different Wendy's, and it was absolutely perfect.
There
it
you go. Rest my
at
case.
All.
I rest my case. See,
no, I wasn't. I wasn't really trying to argue with you. It's just that I've never been to one where they didn't serve me a greasy burger. You know?
So you
so
liked it.
I finally had it. It doesn't mean that I really like Wendy's, the regular burgers, but I liked this burger. So once in a while, they come up with something good. Like when they had that pulled pork sandwich that they had for a very short period of time, and I'm like, I think I tried it once, and then I went back the next week, to have one, and they're like, oh, we don't have that anymore. I'm like, if you run a special for a week? I mean, come on.
Well, that was back in the
so
day
was,
when the pork prices were really high back then. That's probably why they stopped.
No. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It was like maybe a few months ago, I remember, they had that pulled pork sandwich. Well, but that's the whole thing with, uh-oh, we're gonna mention it. Here
what?
We go. And Lori's
McDonald's.
Not here.
McDonald's.
The
McDonald's
sandwich.
Made it. We have 5 more minutes and we almost did it without saying McDonald's. We can't do it. We always say McDonald's.
Well, I threatened that if you said bacon too much that I would mention it. But wasn't that one of the issues with the McRib?
Yes.
Was the price of pork. And then, you know, they bring it and they have it for like a day and they tease you. I'm like, I'm not going to drive 400 miles to the one restaurant that actually has the stupid sandwich to go back and get it again.
That is
so
true.
Why bother?
I think that throughout the whole South, they had like 7 McDonald's that had it. That was about it. There's giant billboards and you had to find, it was like a scavenger hunt, which McDonald's has the McRib sandwich.
but that was the whole thing. Do you remember I actually called you guys and
yes.
I sent you a text with the picture because I saw the billboard. I was in Roanoke, right? And I see the
right.
billboard. We have the McRib, and I'm like, oh, my God. It's like, you know, I'm going to cause an accident now trying to get up to the other side of the road to get to this thing. And then it was gone.
Yep.
You know,
well,
and nobody
ran,
else had it.
They ran out of them because they're such a big hit, and it cost so much to make. So next time, they'll do it again.
On.
They do it every once in a while, and they just do it, like you say, to tease us. Oh, well,
come on,
we
that
go.
Stuff is made from pork byproduct, and you can't tell me that that costs that much when you can probably buy, knowing you can probably buy a Boston butt for like 99 cents a pound.
By the way, you saw the ones I had. I had two of them for 99 cents a
yeah.
pound. But there's times when pork is expensive. It's gotten cheap again, so that's why I have them in my freezer at 99 cents a pound. By the way, too,
well,
just on a side note.
I hope you don't defrost too much if you're going to
no,
clean up the freezer.
No, it's in a different freezer. By the way, just on a side note about Wendy's, have you had their chili?
You know, I've never had their chili.
You got to get their chili. The chili is excellent. Mm. Now, I don't think a lot of people eat it, so make sure they stir it up real well before they dip you out a cup of it. But you got to try their chili. It's good. Just a side note.
I don't eat chili out. I don't like commercial chili because usually it's way too sweet.
Well,
it just means they
rule.
All put sugar in everything.
Break your fancy pants rule and your whatever you call the boucher and go and swing in the, and get a cup of chili. I think you'll like it. We got to go. It's actually 3 minutes left. Everybody, we're going to be gone. Yay, everybody says. We're going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. And then we'll be back the first weekend of January after the first. And Laurie will be back. Brian will be back. And I'm sure we'll be talking about crazy things in the food world. Everyone out there have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. What are the other things, too, we forget? Whatever all the different happy holidays that are out there, enjoy yourself. And, Brian, do you have anything else you want to add? Because we got 2 minutes.
No, just the same sentiments. Go out and celebrate, but be safe. You know, don't do any crazy things. And we will see you. I think the date is actually going to be the 10th, which is Sunday
sure
the 10th.
That can't be right.
Well, the first weekend
yeah, right.
is the third.
You're right, January the 10th. All right, January 10th, we'll be back. Everyone, enjoy your holidays. We will see you then. See you, Brian.
Cheers.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Why? Why?
Because... A Santa Claus is coming to town.
A two, three, four.
Well, he's making a list, checking it twice.
should we say it one more time? Santa Claus is coming to Santa Claus.